Happy Friday, Nashville. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And starting this week and moving forward, we are going to be joined at 9 a.m. on Fridays by Max Herz from Preds Radio. We are thrilled to have Max with us. He's with us from 9 to 9:30 today, but with the season starting next week, 9 to 10 every Friday, Max will be with us talking Predators. Excited for it. Max, thanks for coming on.
Hi, guys. Yeah, excited to be a part of it. Opening night less than a week away next Thursday night. And I was thinking about it. I think hockey might be the only sport where next man up is never said as a cliche.
That is true.
But we got enough pucks in deep, short shifts. We got enough to make up for it.
I love it. Yes. And cannot believe the Pred season is 6 days away. I've said it before, the hockey offseason flies by faster than any other one, it feels like. The playoffs end, and it feels like, boom, we're right back. So excited to get going next Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. Preds are going to be on the ice for game one of the new season. Again, every Friday, 9 to 10 moving forward, 9 to 9:30 today, we will have Max Herz on to talk all things Predators. Max, you've been out there at practice. You've been calling the preseason games. What's been kind of the early returns on this Predators team? Obviously a disappointing year last year, but plenty of talent on this roster to take a big step forward this season.
Yeah, I think the biggest change, Jake, is vibes are better. Everybody's taking a deep breath. Expectations are off. And the team, truthfully, isn't that different than last year. So that may be the thing that makes the biggest difference. But you've also got the young guys making a push. Brady Martin, who is 18 and a half years old, fifth overall pick in the draft this summer, right off the farm in Elora, Ontario, Canada. He is still here. He is playing in the top six. He actually has been playing top line center in practice the last couple days, with Ryan O'Reilly playing some wing and Philip Forsberg alongside those guys. So as of now, unless things change with the two big missing variables that are Matt Wood, who had done everything to guarantee he was going to make the team as a 20-year-old but got hurt last week and has not returned since. He could be back by opening night. But if Matt Wood's not healthy and Luke Evangelista still hasn't signed his contract, I think it's pretty much 100% that Brady Martin will make his NHL debut next Thursday. And you got Joachim Kimmel playing in the top six, too, with Steven Stamkos on the second line. And you got a battle on the fourth line. Ozzie Weisblatt is pushing.
Wow. And you look at this team, and everybody points to the veterans and all the big-name free agent signings that you made a year ago, but those young guys could really be the difference. I mean, all the guys you just mentioned, Fedor Svechkov looks like he might be able to take a big step forward. I do have to say, just quick tangent, that Fedor Svechkov interviews are my favorite of anybody out there. What was it this week? I felt it in my soul. I needed a white stick. Was that what he said?
So his stick, I mean, a white stick already stands out, and a decent amount of guys in the NHL have them, but it stands out. His is white with, like, holographic shining part.
Oh, wow.
All the way up the handle. Yeah.
He just sounds like Ivan Drago to me.
I saw that quote and I was like, that is just a hilarious thing to say, but it's not the first time he said something like that. Like he's just a very blunt, like, funny guy, and I love it. So the young guys clearly going to be a big part of this team. And Brady Martin, I mean, from being the fifth overall pick, and you know, the reaction from Preds fans, we talked about it a couple weeks ago when you were on, was not overwhelmingly excited for Brady Martin in number five. But I think throughout the offseason, as they've seen him on the ice more, there's a lot of excitement about what this young kid could do, especially if he makes the team right off the bat.
Yeah, and there have been bigger reaches in the top five in the NHL draft in recent years. Like, the Ducks picked this guy, Beckett Seneca, 2 years ago, who people remember they showed on TV, and like, he was shocked that he was picked in the top three. And a lot of teams wanted Brady Martin. Utah was linked to him at four for a long, long time. You can make an argument for James Hagans, who we're not going to see in the NHL this year, and maybe at the end if he leaves college right away, but he's in college right now, so he's not playing. But Martin has held his own in camp. He had two goals in the preseason game against the Lightning. He had an assist as well. And the thing that I'm really starting to see in practice as this week you get down to the NHL group and the guys competing for those spots, because the first couple weeks, it's three practices a day. it's a lot going on. And guys are just getting their feet under him. But the thing you see with Martin with the NHL group, he's in the right place almost all the time. He has a nose for the puck. He has a nose for the net. He gets shots off. He creates. He creates in tight space. A lot of the things that the Preds need to do a lot more of on offense last year. And his shot is good enough to compete at the NHL level. And he can do some playmaking. And all while being a hound on the forecheck, a guy who's really hard to play against. Faceoffs may be an issue, but that's why Ryan O'Reilly is with him, one of the best draw takers in the NHL, if not the best. So I think Martin's got a shot. I really think he does. And I think most Preds fans know the rule, but with the junior players, you can play them in 9 games without burning a year off their entry-level contract. And I think it's reasonable that it gets to that point. I really think it is.
Let me ask you this, then. If they do decide he's played well enough through these 9 games that we're going to keep him around and use that first year of the entry-level contract, and we're still having the situations of Luke Evangelista hasn't signed yet, you know, you have injuries that plague the team, do you think it's a possibility that the Predators look to shop a guy at that position, like a Michael McCarron, like a Cole Smith, some sort of veteran presence?
I mean, I think anything's possible. Like they traded away guys on multi-year deals early last season. So I think anything's possible. But I think right now they've got their balance in the top 6 with 2 wide open spots for the claiming that right now look like they're going to be Brady Martin and Joakim Kimmel.
Yep.
But I think if Matt Wood is healthy opening night, he would have one of those. Then in the bottom 6, you got a different situation, and it seems like the battle there is Ozzie Weisblatt versus Zach LaRue for that last spot on the 4th line wing. The 3rd line is set. We've got a bonded trio of guys who show up to the rink mad every day with Michael Bunting, Eric Halla, and Jonathan Marchessault.
Which is funny because we had Bunting on a couple weeks ago. He was like the most down-to-earth, nice person of
Michael
all
Bunting.
Time.
Yeah, and he is not someone you would want to mic up if you don't have the sensor ready during a game, as are all 3 of those guys. Bunting, Marchessault, and Halla. And like, it's 3 veterans, 3 guys who know their skill set at this point. And they've been fun to watch together. So I think there's a chance those guys stick because literally they have not played with anybody else at any point in camp or preseason.
The situation everybody's monitoring, of course, is Luke Evangelista. And we've mentioned it a couple of times. Has not signed his contract yet. Is not with the team currently. If this isn't sorted out by Thursday, do you think this could, and maybe all the time he's missed in training camp too, could kind of stunt his growth in what is a big year for a young player who has shown a lot of flashes at times in his career in the NHL, but really hasn't been a consistent level player quite yet for the Preds?
Yes, I think he has already hurt himself by not being here, and I understand the way the negotiation works, but all that he has wanted is a big chance in the top 6, and it's never really come for more than a few games at a time, which I was always disappointed by, because in those moments when he's gotten the chance, sometimes we've seen it, and it's really flashed. It flashed right at the beginning of his NHL career when he was called up in spring of 2023. Down the stretch last year, he played with O'Reilly and Forsberg for a few games and was putting up points left and right. And this year, the right wing spots on the top 2 lines were both there for the taking, and he's not here. So I understand he needs to get paid what he's worth, and normally I would be on the player's side in any dispute like this in any sport. I usually believe the player is the one who deserves to get paid what they think they deserve to get paid, especially in salary cap situations where your earning potential is limited. But I think Evangelista is hurting himself more than helping himself by not being here right now in this specific training camp, when his positions, both of them, that he would want, were there for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's a problem that he's not here. And look, without getting into sides of who's right and who's wrong, I think it's a problem that the organization and the player are too far apart on the contract money. So,
yeah, this is how the system is designed, too. He's a restricted free agent who's not arbitration eligible.
Yeah.
So this can happen. And it happened with 2 guys who, just based on salary, are more prominent young players in the last couple weeks, and they both got it done. Mason McTavish with the Ducks, Luke Hughes with the Devils, 2 big names who signed really long contracts.
Yeah.
And Evangelista is, I mean, based on what we're hearing of the negotiations, he's not about to sign for 6, 7, 8 years.
Right. Don't think that one is on the table right now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have Preds questions, get those in for Max. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got another segment with Max Herz here on the show. We will go through the early look of what the lines and pairs could look like. Preds did make a waiver claim this week. We'll go through that and also talk about how important it is to get off to a fast start for this Preds team this year. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. We're joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio, talking Predators with the season just 6 days away. We'll talk more Preds on the other side here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. We are joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio during this first hour of the show, previewing the Preds season 6 days away from opening night on Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. Cannot wait for hockey season in Smashville. We're going through some of the big storylines heading into the year. And Max, I know you're big on going through these lines and pairs and what things have looked like. What is the initial look at this lineup look like for the Preds? With, you mentioned a couple of spots still up for grabs, but slowly starting to fall into place.
Yeah, so I'll start with the guys who are not there. Luke Evangelista is not signed, so he is not here.
Right.
two players who are injured. Both of them are very tall, and both of them, I think, would have had big roles. First up is Matt Wood, who was the NHL's scoring leader in preseason, and honestly still might be. I haven't checked because the Preds haven't had a game in the last 4 days. Somebody's probably passed him. But he had 5 points in the first two preseason games and was, I mean, it was almost all primary points, too.
He's tied for fifth.
Okay.
Hendrix LaPierre from Washington.
And he's played in two. Hendrix LaPierre has probably played in four, would be my guess. But so Wood was on track to make the team. He got hurt in the intra-squad game in Clarksville, the Gold Star Showcase, and hopefully he can be back maybe by opening night. We were told week to week earlier this week, gotcha. But at that point, it's already been a week since he was hurt, and opening night still isn't for another week, so I guess that's what week-to-week means.
50-50, I guess, is where we are at this point.
Yeah, if you take week-to-week at its word, he could play opening night. And then on the back end, another preseason injury, Nick Hague, who the Preds signed to a big 5-year contract on a sign-and-trade from the Golden Knights this summer to be Roman Josi's partner. He looked good with Josi in the early days and in the first period and a half of preseason, and he got hurt in his preseason debut. So he will be out probably till the end of October, early November. So they have some depth on the back end, though, and we'll go through that. But forwards first, you said.
Go ahead.
So Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, and Brady Martin has been the top line.
Yes. Brady Martin on the top line is crazy.
I love it.
And a lot of the time when they're running drills, Martin is the one playing center in live play. O'Reilly's going to take most of the faceoffs.
Makes sense.
But I think we could get to the finish line of opening night with that. I really do. And that they're giving Brady Martin every chance in the world.
I mean, it is crazy to have gone from, maybe Brady Martin makes the team, to, hey, he could be on the first line on opening night.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he's done good things. He really has. It's not, hey, you're the fifth overall pick. I mean, if they didn't think he could play in the NHL right now, he'd be back in the Sioux right now because his junior team's playing games. So
it's so funny how that's flipped, though. Like, when we had you on a couple weeks ago, you were like, well, it looks like only one guy drafted this year is going to make the opening night roster, and that's Matthew Schaefer in New York. And now it's like, hey, Brady Martin, he's going to be on the top line opening night.
And if he produces in the NHL, even if he just stays for the 9 games and goes back to the OHL, boy, does that change the narrative about this pick and the franchise.
Yeah, for sure. If Brady Martin comes out, and again, even if he only plays the 9 games and he looks the part, that changes the way the Preds feel about their future, because you look like you might have a future star in Brady Martin.
Yeah, and he had a great year last year in the OHL. His draft year is what got him drafted, and that's how it works, and you want him to keep playing well. And I mean, I said it before, he's 18 and a half. He was born in March 2007.
I am no longer the baby.
Who's older, Brady Martin or Ryan Williams? As Vandy faces Alabama this weekend.
Williams.
He's the wide receiver who last year, anytime you watch an Alabama game, it was, Ryan Williams is only 17 years old. That was the storyline that was Now played ad nauseum.
Is he the guy who said they're going to beat an ant with a sledgehammer or whatever?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, there you
go.
They need to combat him with the, who was the guy a couple years ago? Alabama, you're next.
Oh, yeah.
Nephi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to combat. Big Joe's great interview.
We need a round table.
Look,
Vandy's
going to win this weekend. We can go back to hockey after this. But you can't go 16-0 if you don't start 6-0.
That is very true. Yeah.
Thank you, Dabo Sweeney.
We will be talking some Vandy later on in the show. I'm getting there, too. I think Vandy might get the win. So Brady Martin possibly on the top line on opening night. And you mentioned that is it the second line that's pretty much set with Holla, Bunting, Marcus?
So they, I guess they're the second line on the line sheet. I consider them the third line in role. Like, it's all vets, so you put them on the second line.
Right.
But to me, the line with Stamkos on it is the second line, which is Stamkos and two guys who have a combined 54 games of NHL experience. Svechkov at center and Joachim Kimmel at right wing. And Stamkos has been playing left wing mostly. And I think Kimmel's got a chance to break out. You never know.
Right.
He's going to have to get some shots off. And him and Stamkos are very similar players, too. So could be a plus, could be a minus. We'll see how that goes. But I think last year, the brief glimpses we got of Svechkov and Stamkos together, it's like, it's that simple. You're playing with Steven Stamkos. And Svechkov made it look easy in the few select moments he got with him. The one that I think of is the overtime hat trick.
Yeah.
It's 3-on-3, so it's a different world. But Svech drew the D on what was kind of an odd man rush. It wasn't a full odd man rush. And Stamkos had the most open ice he'd had all season tenfold. It's that easy. And that's what Fedor Svechkov is good at offensively.
I like that pairing with him and Stamkos together. And you mentioned Kimmel. Does that feel like the most obvious spot if you do get Matt Wood back, if you do get Luke Evangelista back, that would be where one of those guys would slide in?
I think so. I think it would definitely be Kimmel coming out.
Not Martin. I think as of now,
Martin is ahead of Kimmel. Wood was playing with Martin and Forsberg in preseason. I think Martin is more tied to Forsberg now than Wood would be. So I think it could be Stamkos, Svechkov, Wood.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's a long answer to say yes.
There you go. And then that fourth line, the culture line, the bruisers, big sexy in the middle.
There
you go.
Local father of two, Michael McCarron. Shout out to the McCarron family. They have now had two babies in like just over a year.
Wow.
Last September, they had their first baby girl. And then 2 days ago, son Jetson McCarron was born.
Badass name.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
You need Flintstone as the next one.
Yeah. Well, I thought that. I was like, are you a fan of the Jetsons? He's like, no, not really. This is a great name. It is a great name. So, yeah, happy for Mike. The kid was born. What day of the week is it? Today's Friday. The kid was born on Wednesday night.
Wow.
And he was like, no chance I'm missing a second practice in a row. You can't keep me cooped up in this hospital.
Yes.
I love it.
So, yeah, he broke out. But yeah, Michael McCarron, America's fourth line center, gold medalist at the World Championships as the 4C, especially with Colton Sissons gone, he is your stabilizer in so many ways. He's taken the draw to start every PK this year. He's going to have some really important D-zone starts. Cole Smith's going to be alongside him, as he has been now for 4 years. And as of now, it looks like Ozzie Weisblatt has the inside track for the fourth line wing, but it's a close competition between Weisblatt and Zach LaRue for that fourth line wing spot. And the potential separator here, this isn't the decision making point, but Weisblatt does require waivers to get to the AHL and LaRue does not. So that is in Weisblatt's favor, potentially.
Yeah, that would make sense. You know, make sure you keep both of them and don't have to worry about somebody else coming in and claiming them. So interesting look at those lines, and obviously a couple of things that still need to be sorted out with injuries and contract stuff, but I do like the way it's sorting out and excited to see some of these young guys. On the defensive pairs, you mentioned Nick Hague is out, but Roman Josi being back and healthy, obviously, you know, getting the captain back, one of the best defensemen in the league, that's always going to be a big boost.
And it's so funny how much everybody takes him for granted. Like, even the players are like, it's a whole new world to have him back. 15th season for Roman Josi. He's one of the longest tenured captains in the NHL now, which is unbelievable. He's been the longest tenured Preds captain already for 3 years in team history. But it's incredible, the longevity. And look, he suffered a really serious injury, and it led him to get some other things checked out that had been bothering him. He said he'd been dealing with fatigue and dizziness for really a couple years now, which is incredible that the defenseman who plays 30 minutes a game is dealing with fatigue. What is he going to be able to do now?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's just incredible what he's always done, and now even knowing that. And he was diagnosed with POTS, which is a syndrome that is manageable, and he's receiving medical care for it. He has some medications. He's changed up his sleep patterns. He's eating a little bit differently. And all of this was triggered by the dirty hit he took from Sam Bennett last year, which caused a concussion, but led him to take the time to finally get this sorted out. And another thing that's interesting, this is not for POTS. This is for just concussion management and prevention. He's wearing the thing on the back of his neck that's shaped like a horseshoe that I've seen a lot of NFL players wear. It's called a Q collar. I have never seen another NHL player wear one. So I believe he is the first, which is interesting. And fans who see him up close, either on TV or in person, will see it kind of on the back of his neck just because above the collar of his sweater. But I think that's like a visual reminder of like how much he had to do to get back.
Yeah.
And he feels 100% and he looks 100%. So look, if things stay on track this year and he stays healthy, Roman Josi will play his 1,000th NHL game this year. That's going to be an incredible celebration.
Silver stick, baby.
Yeah, he would be the first person to ever play 1,000 games for the Preds.
Wow.
So, yeah, David Legwon got close, but he was traded in the 900s. So, yeah, it's a big season for Roman Josi, and his D partner, Nick Hague, got hurt right off the drop. And Adam Willsby, who was the best player early on in camp, has stepped right onto that top pair, and I think it was the right guy to move, without a doubt. And he's looked good there, and I mean, he's just zipping around. Him and Josi together, somebody might have to temper, like push the brakes a little bit so somebody stays back, but those guys will be flying together, and they are 10 years apart in age.
Wow.
Willsby's got a lot of promise. If he hadn't gotten hurt last year, I think we would have seen some fun stuff from him at the end of the season.
Yeah, excited to see that pairing together, at least until Nick Hague is able to get back healthy. And I know one of the big defensemen that fans were looking at, Tanner Molendijk, former first-round pick, he was injured for the first part of camp, but he's been back on the ice and hopefully can be a part of this team.
Yeah, I don't think Molendijk has a great chance at making the opening night roster, which is fine, because he will now finally be able to make his pro hockey debut for the Milwaukee Admirals. He's been in junior for 5.5 seasons. He was an early guy in the Western League. You can go in there when you're 15. He played all the way through his age 20 season last year. He won the Western Hockey League Championship, the Ed Chenoweth Cup. He was in the Memorial Cup last year. So he actually was playing longer than the Admirals were, so he never got to play a pro game. So I think they want him in Milwaukee a little bit. Andrew Gibson is already down there in the first round of cuts. I think you would probably see those guys paired together as a potential pair in the NHL in the future, but I would expect Molendijk to make his NHL debut at some point this season. Most of that is probably based off of injuries, but I think it's more than reasonable that he debuts before New Year's.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We see your phones. Max, you want to stick around for a little longer here?
Yeah, right. I'm good.
We'll take some questions from all of you.
615-737-1025.
If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, joined by Max Herz here on this Friday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game.
Yeah.
Next man up, 1025 The Game. Wondering where to go watch NFL games this Sunday? Come to Twin Peaks in Madison, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 1025 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Cardinals. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Tennessee Brewworks. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday
White
morning.
Girl Friday!
Is that what we're calling it?
Anytime I'm on the air with you, it's white girl music all day.
Guess that's what we're going with. We are previewing the Predators season as they are 6 days away from dropping the puck on a new year at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday night. If you have questions for Max Herz, get those in. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. We'd love to hear from you. I did want to make the point here that last year that 0-5 start really felt like it just put this team in a hole that they couldn't dig themselves out of. Does it feel like it's a big deal to get off to a fast start this year and get some good feelings going in that locker room to start off the season.
Yeah, you don't want a single shred of doubt about any aspect of the team. And I think the schedule is more favorable at the beginning this year, too. The two games at home to start the season are both winnable. The Blue Jackets, it's two sneaky teams, actually, but they're both winnable on home ice, very much so. The Blue Jackets in the first game, they're a team on the rise. They have a forward group that kind of is a bunch of no-name rising stars, but they have some rising stars in that forward group, and Zach Werenski should have won the Norris last year and didn't, which I was kind of disappointed by. But that's the first game, but that's a very beatable opponent. And then the second game, the recently rebranded Utah Mammoth.
The Mammoth.
Will be here.
A prehistoric matchup.
Yeah, I think they're calling it the Ice Age rivalry, yeah. I think officially is so how good. The Preds are naming it. And there's going to be some sort of promotion around it. There's going to be an Ice Age hot dog for the hot dog of the game at the arena two Saturdays from now, October 11th. And that's another team, like, they've got guys, and that team has given the Preds fits since they were in Arizona with their current group, with Keller and Schmaltz snapping it around. And I think this is breakout year time for Logan Cooley, too. So, again, another team with a high ceiling, but also a team with questions early in the year that's not a playoff team from last year, so they're beatable. And then after that, they get the thing that they did not get last year. They get on the road early, and Hal Gill said on the radio 10,000 times, that's why he thought they had a bad start last year, because they were all sitting at home. A lot of the guys on the team were new. Everybody was getting settled in. Everybody had relatives in town because they could go to six games in a row. And this year, we're just grabbing our passports. We're going up to Ottawa for Canadian Thanksgiving on a Monday afternoon for the third game of the season. Back-to-back, Ottawa-Toronto, Montreal and Winnipeg to finish up the week. I think that could be a fun trip.
Yeah.
If the Preds start to figure some things out early on. And then after that, five home games in a row against the Ducks, Canucks, Kings, Stars, and Lightning. And then those are some challenging games other than the Ducks.
Then they hit the road to Philly and come right back, right?
Yeah. That's yeah. So it's home heavy early on in the season.
Thank you, Chill.
Yeah. They have six Saturdays in Smashville out of the first eight Saturdays of the season. So those are going to be full houses.
Yeah.
A lot of those games need to be wins.
Yes. Plenty of opportunities to come out and make an impact at Bridgestone Arena. Six Saturday games at home through the first 8 weeks. So that is massive. And I do have to say, you mentioned the early road trip. Like, I think that is always important. I know you've done summer league baseball, and to kind of like make a comparison, when I was up in Minnesota, every year we started with our longest road trip of the year. You'd go 6-hour bus ride to Bismarck, North Dakota, and it just felt like the players bonded by being together for 4 days straight. And it's not like you're going back to your own houses. You're in a hotel together and you're bonding. I think that's important. I know it's a very similar team to last year. There are much less new pieces, but I do think an early road trip is good for team morale and to just get the team going.
Yeah, and it's a cool trip, too. It's a trip where the players will be together. It's a trip where many of the players will have family. Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg on Canadian Thanksgiving week. Hopefully for our Blue Jays fans and the traveling party, including the head coach, Andrew Brunette. Hopefully the Blue Jays will be in the ALCS that week.
Facing the Tigers.
Hopefully for Jake, facing the Tigers. And it could be a pretty fun, they're known not fun weeks up in Canada when the hockey's going
on.
So it's a really cool, really, really cool first trip. I'm already looking forward to it. The players shouldn't be thinking about it yet. They should be thinking about practice today and preseason tomorrow and then the first two home games, but I'm allowed to look forward.
Yeah. I mean, as a broadcaster, you can always look forward to the trips.
I can't wait for that April 7th matchup against the Winnipeg Jets.
615-737-1025. Matthew in Nashville wanted to make the point. Apparently, the Mammoth are getting sued for their name. I didn't realize
every
that.
Name they pick, they get sued.
Yeah.
They were barred from being the Yeti by Yeti Cooler Company.
Yeah.
And there's a company that makes, I guess, hockey bags and other hockey gear called Mammoth Hockey.
That's what Matthew, it's an Oregon-based equipment company. So,
yeah.
Man, can't catch a break.
They also,
Utah,
so, they had like, with the arena last year, they had a lot of seats that were folded up because it was designed for basketball, and they got the team 3 months in advance. So this year, they kind of like redesigned. They're the first arena where like a specific seat will be in a different place depending on what sport is being played in Salt Lake City. And they
use the Jazz Arena, right?
Yeah. Okay. So they let the media like see it for the first time yesterday. The lower level is like mountain level steep walking down.
Interesting.
Like if you buy lower level seats there, like you better be an athletic individual. I mean, it honestly looks dangerous, but they've fixed the sight lines.
It has to be, right? Because that arena was not designed for hockey, and obviously an ice rink is a lot bigger than a basketball court. So you kind of have to push the seats back, which makes it steeper. It's interesting.
There's a button they can push, and basically large portions of the lower level shift.
Oh,
that is
like the Batcave.
That is crazy.
That's so cool.
Matthew in Nashville also asked the question because we were talking about David Legwan. He says, ask if there are any plans to finally retire his jersey.
No, I don't believe so.
I haven't heard anything about that either. But
I think Shea Weber is next for that.
That would make sense. I did want to mention that the Preds did make a waiver claim this week, and they claimed Tyson Jost. And I know a lot of people were making a pretty big deal about this in terms of, is this a Luke Evangelista replacement? Based on what you're saying, it doesn't seem to be quite as big of a deal as some made it out to be.
He's not going to play in the top six, at least right off the bat. He is likely to make the team, I would say. And the Preds have played against Jost plenty of times, mostly on the Avalanche, but he's been on the Wild, the Sabres, last year's on the Hurricanes, just played against the Preds in the preseason game 5 days ago for the Hurricanes. But he's just a versatile bottom six guy. He can play center. He can play both wings. I think he is likely to start the season on the NHL roster as the extra forward because they are likely to keep an extra forward and D, especially since they have a back-to-back on the road in week number two. But they don't want to hold a prospect in those spots because, one, they want the prospect to play.
Right.
And, two, they can bring those types of players up and down without waivers, the prospects. So I would expect Jost to make the team. He almost definitely will play a game for the Preds at some point, but I don't think it'll be opening night. And as of now, I think they should keep 7D, and I think Nick Blankenberg would be the 7th. I think Spencer Stastny would be the 6th. He would play, and I think Blankenberg would be 7, which he deserves to make it. After all he did for the Preds down the stretch last year, he certainly deserves to make it. So it's right now the 4th pair is Blankenberg and Tanner Molendijk after Andreas Englund was sent down. So I think Molendijk will go down to Milwaukee. If they keep a 7th D, which I think they should, it would be Blankenberg. But yeah, Jost is not here because Luke Evangelista is not here. That's not how it works. But him and Cole Smith are super tight. They played together at North Dakota. I've always enjoyed watching Jost play. He's very similar to Mark Jankowski. And the Hurricanes basically were deciding between him and Mark Jankowski for fourth line. And they tried to get Jost through waivers and didn't work.
Yeah, Preds made the move, but again, not a one-for-one Luke Evangelista replacement like I saw some buzz on Twitter about that. Max, you got one more segment in you?
Yeah, can I plug something as
Go ahead.
Plug. So we actually have a Smashville Live radio show before opening night this year. This coming Tuesday, which is October 7th. Tuesday night, October 7th, next Tuesday, this Tuesday, from 6 to 7 at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. First Smashville Live show of the year with two new Preds, the two new defensemen coming in this offseason. Nick Hague and Nick Perbix will be our guests. Tuesday night, Smashville Live, Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria from 6 to 7. Come hang out with us. Get ready for opening night. Meet the new Preds. I don't think we've ever done a show in the time I've been hosting it before the season started, so this is pretty cool.
That's awesome. Tuesday night, if you can't get out there to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, you can listen in right here on 102.5 The Game. And perfect way to get ready for Thursday night, where the Preds will start off their new season against Columbus. So excited for that. We'll keep Max for one more segment, and then we'll let him go. We'll wrap up our Preds talk on this Friday morning. Again, if you have questions for Max, you can get those in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text any questions for Max, we will get to those coming up next. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Cowboys versus the Jets at noon on Sports Talk 830. NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massero in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, wrapping up hour number one. As we will have every week moving forward. Fridays from 9 to 10, Max Herz is going to join us from Preds Radio and talk some Predators hockey. Preds start their season on Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. Cannot wait for a new season in Smashville. And again, 9 to 10 every Friday here on Next Man Up, we will have Max Herz from Preds Radio. A couple more questions for Max. We'll get to your questions as well. We haven't talked about the goalies at all. UC Saros, again, last year, you can talk about how statistically maybe not as good of a season as you would have liked, but that Roman Josi being out, a lot of the turmoil on that back line may have contributed to that as well. You've also got Justus Onnen back for his first full year with the Preds. What's the goalie situation looking like for Nashville?
I maintain that very little of last season's ills and goals against were on UC Saros. And look, I understand that that's polarizing, but that's what I thought the entire time before it was even a topic of conversation. Poor guy got hung out to dry early. I think late he had some softies, but it's at the end of a lost season, you know, and they rested him down the stretch too, which was a smart move because they knew he was going to go play for Team Finland and play every minute of the World Championships, and he played really well in that tournament. And Justus Onnen was his backup over there, and they were riding around in golf carts together with full gear on around the rink. And to use a adoptable puppy term, these guys are a bonded pair. And it feels like Onnen has been his backup goalie for years, when in fact it's only been 10 months, including the offseason, since the Preds traded for him in Thanksgiving when Barry Trotz stared through Scott Wedgwood stared through the peephole of his hotel room in Minnesota and saw Barry Trotz's face right there in the middle of the night because there's no cell service in the hotel we stay in Minnesota. And just like that, the Preds had a new backup goalie, and we had Juice, and Big Juice was born. And I think Onnen's going to play a lot this year. Even if Saros returns to his form and the team plays well, I think they know what they have in Onnen. I think he's really solid, and I think he has conformed to the Preds' system really well, which is deeper in the net, athletic movements deep in the net. Obviously, he is not the same style of goalie as UC Saros, but the way that goalie coach Ben Vanderklok and the goaltending department teach these guys is all in the mold that has made Saros successful. And we saw last year, Onnen had some amazing saves.
Yeah.
And he played a lot down the stretch, and the Preds' better results down the stretch were with him in goal. So he's got the ability to win in the NHL. This will be his second full NHL season. It's the second time that he's gone into a training camp knowing he's going to be an NHLer. And I think it just is huge for him. And those two guys are really, really close. They're from the same country. They speak Finnish together. And Big Juice is trying to get Juice onto the cool goalie pad ride now. So Onnen has giant Preds fangs,
yes,
on his goalie pads and on his blocker this year. And he's trying to get Juice to go for it too. And so Saros has his normal all gold in the Marc-Andre Fleury mold that he's had for years. He has those again this year. He's used them in all the games. But we've seen a couple practices. He's got gold pads with Preds claw marks on them. Oh. And if he switches to those, I think Big Juice is getting a commission.
I like it. I love it. I mean, there's a chance both those guys are playing for Team Finland in the Olympics, too. Like, it's crazy that you get both those guys on the same team, and it makes sense that they're so bonded together.
Well, it'd be so funny if the three goalies for Finland, and this is reasonable, were Saros, Lankinen, and Onnen.
Yeah, right. That's very possible. all current or former Preds. Let's get to a couple questions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I did want to get to this. Ricky called in earlier, and he did text in to say what he was planning on saying. I'll read this. It might be a voice to text, so there's some that's not great in here. I called. I had to hang up. I'm sorry. Brady Martin is going to be Steven Stamkos at 21, 22 years old. The dominant Tampa Bay Steve Stamkos is physical. He hits. He's a mountain of a man with great hands. I gave the scatter report the night of the draft for people on the station. Said, I don't know who this kid is. He will pitch. Jordan Tutu and Steven Stamkos had a baby. Not exactly the most grammatically correct sentence there, but I think we get the gist of it from Ricky. He's a big Brady Martin fan.
Yeah, I mean, who were the guys who have captured Smashville's hearts? Jordan Tutu.
Yeah.
Patrick Hornquist. Like,
Right. It was such a Nashville pick, guys. Such a Barry Trotz pick to take Brady Martin. And again, if he makes the team right off the bat, and again, you have those nine games, but excited to see him out there. That'll be something a lot of fans have their eyes on Thursday night. Matthew in Nashville asked the question, Max, do you have a read on Bill Haslam yet as an owner? How patient will he be if the Preds get off to a slow start like last year?
Yeah, I think there's, after last year, I think there's a little more kind of urgency to get it turned around. But Bill Haslam works in lockstep with Barry Trotz, who leads the hockey department. And on the business side, he works with the Predators' business leaders, Sean Henry, Michelle Kennedy, the voices you hear on this station, and the whole crew. And he's very plugged in. He's very active. He's around the team frequently. He's at games frequently. And he travels with the team frequently. And he does so in a pretty under-the-radar manner, which is good. Like, you don't want Jerry Jones. Like, the NHL doesn't really have that with any owners. There's one or two that will make appearances. But, yeah, I think he's tapped in. And, obviously, everything with the franchise is better when you win, and he's a new owner. So I think this year we'll learn a lot more about that if things do not go well with the Preds. But I think it's a good question, and I think it's definitely something to be thinking about. But I think fans should take solace in the fact that he is very active behind the scenes, very plugged in with every day, every decision, and is not going to have to come in and make a decision uninformed, which I think you do see owners in sports who do that.
Yeah,
have other stuff going on.
You need a good balance of, you don't want to be Jerry Jones, the hands all over the organization kind of owner, but you don't want to be a hands-off owner either. It's like, it's got to be kind of a good balance there.
I think the Preds, I don't think there is a better ownership situation for the Preds than what has happened. The big group saved the team, and it was time to get back to a controlling owner, and it is a local owner who is active in Nashville and Tennessee, is active financially, and is really passionate about this without getting too much in the limelight.
Yep, yep. So good question there from Matthew in Nashville. Max, appreciate you coming by. Excited to do this again every week from 9 to 10. We'll talk some hockey here on Next Man Up as the Pred season starts next week. And again, make sure to tune in on Tuesday or get down there to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs for Smashville Live before the season even starts. Nick Hague, Nick Perbick's going to be your guest.
Yeah, excited for that. We got a preseason game tomorrow, final preseason game, 3 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena against the Hurricanes. Both teams are down to just NHLers, so it'll be A lineups there. We're expecting a big crowd. And we got Preds Fest before that, which is free at Walk of Fame Park across from the arena in the Country Music Hall of Fame. That's tomorrow from 11 to 2. It's free. You just have to go to predsfest.com to get a ticket. Smashville Live Tuesday night in Cool Springs. And then the opener.
Opener on Thursday night. And Max will be back next Friday morning to recap it right here on 102.5 The Game. Preseason game at 3. How are you going to multitask?
I know. Well, last year, this final Predators-Hurricanes preseason game was also at the same time as the Vandy Bama game.
Right.
And we finished the post-game show, and I got to go to the rooftop of Acme and watch them drop the goalpost.
Right, that's
the river.
Where Andrew Brunette had to help them lift the goalpost over somebody's car.
Yeah.
I know this week, last year, I remember hearing Willie Donick on this station saying he was going to go out and help them bring the goalpost down into the Cumberland.
And then he didn't.
I don't think he actually lived up to that promise. But, you know, sadly, the goalposts in First Bank Stadium are safe this week. We'll see if Vandy can take down Alabama. And again, Preds preseason game tomorrow.
Hey,
Max, thanks for coming in.
Go Doors. James L. Lasseter is the future of sports. That's my guy.
We will talk some Vandy later on the show. Also, we'll talk some Titans. Appreciate Max Herz coming by. And again, every Friday from 9 to 10, he'll be on here with Next Man Up. We'll take a break. We'll talk some Titans on the other side. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.